Good morning. 0289 033 105. Very shortly, I'm going to be speaking about a woman in India, from India, from Ireland, associated with sainthood. I simply do not know the story, but Malachy O'Doherty does, and I've been hearing about this. Malachy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Malachy. You often commentate on social issues and politics and all of that, but you do have something of a religious interest in terms of being a religious commentator and writer and observer.
Yeah.
And your spotlight is on India. What are you doing?
I'm going this afternoon to India for 3 weeks. I'm working on an Arts Council Major Artist Award grant to research a woman called Margaret Noble, who was born in Dungannon in 1867. Margaret Noble in 1895 went to India, or shortly after went to India with a Swami Vivekananda, a Hindu Swami. She became a disciple of his. She took the name Sister Nivedita as a nun within a Hindu order called the Ramakrishna Mission. And essentially she is now a revered saint in India. She has the home that she lived in Calcutta is now a museum dedicated to her. There are schools named after her. There are statues. There's a campaign to erect a statue in Wimbledon near the home where she lived and worked, in the 1890s. And the Bengali government is funding that campaign. You know, so she is a huge figure within India. But you know, she is certainly known to some people in and around Dungannon and in Northern Ireland. But she is not well known in any sense at all. And my sense also is that the way in which she is revered in India kind of overlooks her as a human being, you know, with a complex character and with the same kind of struggles and anxieties that people have, and particularly which people in her situation have. She also moved on from never lost her religious enthusiasm, but she became a revolutionary for the Indian Nationalist cause, and I don't think it's been properly explored just to what extent she was immersed in that, how close she was to advising, at the least, people who were carrying out armed attacks in Calcutta in the early 20th century, for instance.
If she had been a Catholic, would we have been talking about her the same way as Mother Teresa?
That's a very good question. You know, I think perhaps. I mean, what is interesting about her, when I did a study of her, partly was to find out that the kind of thinking that she developed was very similar to the thinking of Patrick Pearse at the same time in Ireland. You know, the idea that if you're to claim your independence from the British, then you have to, in a sense, define your nation as separate and different from Britain, and the way in which both Pearse and Margaret Noble sought to define the nation they were fighting for, Ireland and India, was according to its religious culture. Pearse said, Ireland is not Britain, Ireland is Catholic, Ireland is Gaelic, it has a tradition going back centuries, and that is the fundamental character of this country which entitles it to its independence from Britain. And she did virtually exactly the same thing in India. She says, India has a native religious genius, and it has a Hindu culture going back centuries, which is demeaned and overlooked, and it defines us. She defined herself by then as Indian. It defines us as different from Britain and entitles us to independence. So there was a very, very strong parallel between the thinking of Patrick Pearse and of Sister Nivedita in India. She unfortunately died by the age of 44 in 1912. So she had met Mahatma Gandhi. She had met some of the founders of the nationalist movement, including Annie Besant, another Irish woman. Incidentally, Diljit Rana, Lord Rana, had me over to dinner last year to meet the Deputy Indian High Commissioner who had come to Belfast. And when he stood up to address us at dinner, he said there are only two foreigners of any significant role within the Indian national movement, and both of them are from this country. And he named Annie Besant and Margaret Noble, you know. So that, you know, that gives you an indication of of the regard in which he is held in India, and for us to have virtually no significant English language biography of her, there is a blue plaque at her home in Dungannon. I'm not trying to upstage a movement which is already in place before I got involved. People like Jean McGuinness and Chris Spurr have been involved in that. Maurice Hayes was involved in that. I'm not denigrating that or putting that to one side. But we do not have the biography. We do have a tendency among some of those who have adopted this story and taken an interest from me here to continue the reverence, to continue to see her as a saint, whereas actually saints are boring. You know, real human beings are not saints. They struggle with life and they agonize about things and they fall in and out of love and they have their emotional upsets and all the rest of it. That's more interesting. And the fact that that she moved towards revolutionary activity and so on. And
just on the revolutionary activity, was she more woman of the cloth or woman of the gun?
Well, you see, this is a question that no one has answered. I don't think she was ever involved in direct action violence herself, but she was extremely close to people who were. I mean, her guru, Swami Vivekananda, his brother, Bhupendranath Dutta, was an armed activist, undoubtedly. And he, in his biography of Vivekananda, his brother, said that he believed that Nivedita, or Margaret Noble, was part of the revolutionary movement. She was a member of a revolutionary committee based in Calcutta. So she had insights into what was going on. I'm beginning to use the language we use here. She was clearly sitting down with people who were planning armed attacks.
Yeah, let me ask you the great old Northern Irish question. Was she a Catholic Hindu or a Protestant Hindu?
Her father was Methodist. Her father was a primitive Methodist preacher who had gone to England to do his studies in theology. He died when she was very young. She was raised in an orphan school. And yet in some of her letters, she describes herself as Catholic, you know. So she had been through some journeys, you know, within her own religious thinking, even quite young. In one of her letters, she talks about how heartbreaking it is, you know, that the Hindu notion that she adopted within the tradition of Ramakrishna was inclusive and recognized the validity of Catholicism as a valid, you know, as a religious journey, whereas Catholicism didn't recognize Hinduism as a religious insight or as having revelation at its core, you know. So that rankled with her. But in that letter, you know, she says, you know, that at her heart she is Catholic. And that's a surprising thing for her to have said, given that she was raised within a primitive Methodist family. After her father died, she went to an orphan school run by the Church of England, and so at what point she began to think of herself as Catholic? I suppose maybe she was thinking of High Church Anglican Catholic, I suppose, you know, that's a possibility.
It's a really interesting story. I've got pictures of her here. She's a very striking woman, and I see all sorts of issues on social media about her as well, including one that says Sister Nivedita. What's the pronunciation?
The proper pronunciation, I have this from Diljit Rana, is Nivedita.
Nivedita. Sister Nivedita.
Although most people would say Nivedita, but the emphasis on is wrong. It's Nivedita.
But I notice she's under the hashtag of Women Freedom Fighters.
Yes. And you know, another thing as well, she was a touring public speaker and a writer. She has left a huge amount of work. Some of her correspondence, some of the most interesting of her correspondence is with another journalist called Samuel Kirkham Ratcliffe, who was the editor of The Statesman in Calcutta when she met him. And he got into trouble with the Statesman for his own nationalist views. But when she writes to another journalist, and you know this, Frank, you know that humour that journalists have between themselves, the wee bit of black humour, you know, the kind of cynical turn of mind, you know, that you hear in the office but you don't hear out and about. She has that richly in her letters, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in one of the letters to Samuel, to Ratcliffe, she refers to another campaigner for Indian freedom, and she says it would just delight her to know that somebody had strangled him. You know, I mean, the kind of thing that she, you know, in other letters she's writing this very devotional, soft-hearted stuff, you know, about her love for her guru and her divine, her religious aspirations. With the journalist, when she's writing to a journalist, she writes in the humour of a lot of journalists that we know, and I think that's fascinating about her. Well, and that's what interests me, you know, because there is some kind of, I mean, not to overstate it, you know, I can kind of connect with her on the disciple of a guru thing because I lived in India in an ashram under a guru myself for 4 years.
Malagay, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you in more detail about your life with the guru when you return from India in 3 weeks' time. If I keep you any longer, you'll be reading the news, but I'd love to hear how the visit actually goes. You join us again in 3 weeks.
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
Thank you.
I was just saying to Ricky, your researcher, you know, if you want to do something from India when I'm over there, we can maybe do something by Skype.
Perfect job. News is next.